This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. As you might have gathered from the opening about 90 seconds ago, this is a big week for economic data. The headline release comes tomorrow, February's Consumer Price Index. January's reading clued us into how bumpy the road might be getting inflation down to the Fed's target of 2%. And one thing a lot of people are keeping an eye on is rent, which has stayed higher for longer than people had been guessing, which is in turn kind of confusing because there is some data out there that suggests rent inflation ought to be slowing down. Rachel Siegel wrote about it for The Washington Post. Rachel, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Kai. Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, what does inflation do to the CPI as we know it now?
Well, inflation is this snapshot of what price growth looks like for people. And maybe people have their individual baskets, individual sense of what Right. their own inflation report looks like. But rent is often a really big part of that pie. It's often a necessity. It's not something you can work around. And it takes up a huge part of your budget, especially if it's not budging.
So what's the disconnect on inflation, right? Because, I signed a lease in my apartment for a year. How does that get factored in?
Yeah, so we pay really close attention to these official inflation snapshots. One of them, as you mentioned, is coming out tomorrow morning. But that data often works with a lag. It doesn't necessarily capture a new lease the second it changes in price. It might survey an apartment only every couple months, even if a new lease starts in the meantime. So that means that we have this lag with what we're seeing in the official data. At the same time, we know that there are some real-time indicators that are showing very different results, that are showing rents falling, that are showing rents easing in major markets. And the big disconnect then is why it's taking so long for those real-time metrics to show up and look more familiar in what we see in the CPI.
Okay, I'll bite. Why is it taking so long?
Well, I mean, we know that forecasts and models are having a really hard time catching up to the economy that we're in and that we have been since the pandemic. But even if you were to account for, okay, maybe it takes three quarters of a year for that lag to catch up, we know it's coming. We can see it in the pipeline. I talked to policymakers and economists who are still really scratching their heads about why month after month after month, you still see this line show up in the CPI report that talks about housing as the main driver of inflation. And we're just not seeing it budge. And at this point, you probably would have thought we would.
The Fed's got like 400 PhD economists working for it. How can this? No, I mean, this sounds facetious, but it's not. How can this be that we're not sure?
Yeah. So it comes down in some ways to the very wonky technical ways that the Bureau of Labor Statistics calculates the Consumer Price Index. There are ways that mean that the January data is adjusted to reset for a new year that often looks sort of wonky. You can get into the weeds, and there is this strong assurance from policymakers even now that they know that this housing relief is coming. They expect it to start showing up eventually. But you're right. It really seems to increasingly fall under this umbrella of, well, why is it turning out that way? And why can't we figure out why it's not changing?
Yeah. So let me just correct the record here. It's not like those 400 PhD economists in the Fed are actually responsible for the CPI. That's not the way the government bureaucracy and calculations work. But let me ask you this. Could it be that, you know, when Powell says we want to have more good data, we want to be more confident. Is this the kind of thing he's looking for? I'm trying to nail that down with everybody I talk to. What exactly is Powell looking for?
Yeah, well, he's definitely made clear that they don't need to see something drastically different. It's not like they need to see inflation reports totally do a 180 in order to get more confidence. They want more of the kind of good data that they've been seeing. But it's also true that they cannot get inflation down to that 2% figure. They can't get overall inflation down to something more normal unless housing comes down too. Housing is such a big part of this overall snapshot that until we start to see those real-time figures really break through, they're going to have a hard time getting inflation down to 2%.
Not to put you on the spot, but, you know, we've got you on the phone. Spitball it for me. How long do you think it might be before we start to see some of that high-frequency real-time data affecting inflation?
Yeah, well, I am definitely not one of those PhD economists. People who have them, who I do talk to, will say, you know, maybe typically it takes three quarters of a year. Huh. I think the answer is less, okay, exactly how long is it going to take? But what is that real-time data showing us now? There's fresh data from apartment lists that showed that rates or leases have actually come down. Prices are falling. So we at least have our arms around what the current picture looks like. But as for when that starts to filter through, someone described it to me as like staring at a glacier and waiting for it to melt. Oh, and every time you turn around, it's just not budging.
Oh, man. Rachel Siegel at The Washington Post. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, guys.